Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q4 and FY 2021 earnings conference call of NGL Fine Chem Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Rishabh Dass from Pareto Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. This is Rishabh Dass from Pareto Capital. We represent investor relations for NGL Fine Chem Limited. On behalf of NGL Fine Chem, I welcome you all to our Q4 FY 2021 earnings conference call. I have with me from the management, Mr. Rahul Nachani, Managing Director, Mr. Rajesh Lawande, Whole-time Director and CFO, and Ms. Pallavi Pednekar, Company Secretary. We will have brief opening remarks from the management, followed by the Q&A session. Please note that certain statements made during this call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to certain risks and uncertainties that could cause our actual results or projections to differ materially from those statements. NGL Fine Chem Limited will not be in any way responsible for any action taken based on such statements and undertakes no obligation to publicly update these forward-looking statements to reflect subsequent events or circumstances. I will now hand over the call to Mr. Rahul Nachani for his opening remarks. Over to you, sir.
Good morning, all of you. Thank you for joining us on this call. I hope that all of you and your families are safe and well in these difficult times. I will open the call with a few remarks on our performance and strategy going ahead. We are pleased with the performance of our company during this challenging year, where the entire organization has taken wide efforts to ramp up our manufacturing and capitalizing on the demand front. Consolidated sales for the quarter ended 31st March 2021 have been the highest at 72 crores as against 35 crores for the same quarter last year. EBITDA stood at 21 crores with a margin of 29%, and we recorded a net profit of 14 crores with a margin of 19%. Consolidated sales for the year ended 31st March 2021 were 258 crores as against 152 crores for the last year, representing a growth of 70% year-on-year. Our full year EBITDA stood at 80 crores with a margin of 31%. The margin expansion witnessed during the year was on account of significant operating leverage as we scaled up and favorable raw material prices which prevailed during the last year. Profit for the year was 57 crores as against 8 crores last year with a margin of 22%. We experienced significant growth in all our business segments driven by increasing market share in all our products. We successfully ramped up a new capacity in line with the strong demand, with all our facilities running at nearly full utilization levels of over 90%. To continue maintaining our market position and tapping into increasing opportunities, we have planned to invest 20 crores in our subsidiary, Macrotech, to expand capacities for intermediate manufacturing. Additionally, we have plans to increase outsourced production to 15% and continue process improvements and debottlenecking efforts to increase volumes. Going ahead, we'll be doing a greenfield expansion at Tarapur, where we have already acquired land and have the necessary approvals in place to build a new facility with an estimated CapEx of 80 crores to bring about a close to 50% capacity increase. We expect to commission and start production by the end of FY 2023. We are today a net debt-free company and will continue to invest in strengthening our financial base and maintaining our market leadership position by remaining cost competitive, reliable, and offer high-quality solutions to our customers. This is all from my side now. We can open the floor for discussion.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Ankit from Bamboo Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, sir. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations to the entire NGL team for a great year last year. Sir, you know, last year in our Q2 call, we had stated that, you know, our top 10 products were doing extremely well, and especially our top 4 to top 10 products, we had taken significant market share away from our competitors. And they were facing some challenges on ramping up, and we were providing our customers with good price and reliable supplies. So how, given how the situation is currently, how have our competition reacted now, and are we still able to retain market share in those top 20 products? And how do you see growth for this top 10 products of ours for FY22 and FY23?
Yeah, Ankit, thank you for that. We did take away quite a bit of market share from our competitors during the last year. And we have been successful that we have been able to retain this the market share which we have gained over this last 1 year. I don't anticipate any problems in holding on to whatever gains we have made during this period. In fact, we are looking forward to at least a 20% growth in our top 10 products even during the current year.
Okay, okay. And sir, how are the remaining 8 products, you know, the 11 to 18 products that we do, how are they doing, and what are the plans to commercialize the new 4 products that we had developed? And last year, because of, you know, huge demand from our existing 18 products, we are not manufacturing those 4 products in a big way. If you can throw some light on that.
So our growth has been very wide-based during the last 1 year. Our top 3 products used to contribute 47% of our sales during FY20. Today they contribute only 40% of sales. So we see such decreasing trend contribution from the top 5 also and the top 10 also, which means that our other products are growing at a much larger pace than these mature products. So we see a pretty good growth coming up as our market share, even it is going up. So we see an overall well-round growth coming up for us.
Sure. And any plans to commercialize those 4 new products in a big way this year, or are we still facing capacity constraints?
No. We have already started manufacturing those products. So those are now part of our regular lineup, and we will keep on ramping up capacity as we are able to penetrate the market better.
Okay.
We don't consider them as new products anymore. They are now all within the system.
Okay. So they are also ramping up, in a good pace now.
Yes.
Okay. And sir, if you can throw some light on the CAPEX plan, primarily the debottlenecking at the existing API plants and expansion at Macrotech, as well as the new greenfield expansion. So post expansion, post the brownfield expansion at Macrotech and debottlenecking at existing API plants, how much top line can we reach, and our plans for future greenfield expansion, if you can throw some light on that.
So we are spending, investing close to about 100 crores in the next 2.5 years, of which 20 crores is in Macrotech and 80 crores will be at our new greenfield site in Kanpur. The typical capital asset ratio, turnover ratio we see in this industry is about 2.5:1.
No.
So we expect to attain a similar kind of a turnover from our investment.
Suppose this expansion at Macrotech and debottlenecking at existing API plants, we can touch 325 to 350 crore of revenue on annual basis.
Plus, we will have to also increase our outsourcing simultaneously. But yes, that should be good enough to help us get there. Yeah.
Okay. Sir, one last question from my end, then I'll come back in the queue. Sir, on a broader level, if we look at it, we currently are manufacturing 22 products, including the 4 new products, and we have 5 more products under development, as you have stated in our presentation. So, post this brownfield expansion and greenfield expansion at Tarapur, let's say in FY24-25, will this 27 products be enough to fulfill our capacity at the new greenfield plant as well, or will we have to introduce new products also apart from this 27 products which are under manufacturing or under development?
That's a little difficult to say right now, because when we introduce a product, there are always existing suppliers in that, and we have to see how we are able to gain market share from the others. So at times it takes 1 year, at times it takes 5 years. So how long, or how quickly we are able to fill in the capacity in our own plants by increasing demand is something which we have to see as we go.
Sure. Okay. So we'll keep on working on new products, and apart from this 5 more products, at least next 3-4 years, there will be some more products which will be under development or most likely be commercialized.
Yeah, it's a long process, meaning we can't obviously stop. It's a pipeline which we have to keep feeding so that we are able to penetrate markets, add new products, and also fill in capacity.
Okay, and this new 5 products which are under development also have a similar size of our existing molecules that we manufacture, with, let's say 550-100 crore mark, or these are bigger molecules?
No. Some are smaller molecules, some are decent size. So it's a mixture. So it's one really can't, I can't give you those numbers of what the market size is for each of those products. But it will keep pace with the rate at which we are growing.
Sure. Okay. Thank you so much. I'll come back.
Thank you.
The next question is from the line of Ayush Mittal from MAPL Value Investing Fund. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
First of all, sir, sincere congratulations and appreciation for the management for a wonderful performance. Having been invested for 5-7 years now, I can really appreciate the work that the company has done. My question was that given the change in the financials and the kind of cash flow that we are generating today, we are at a very different size than what we were 2-3 years back. So it's obvious that our ambition and future growth plans should change, and it's great to see that you're going to invest almost 100 crore over the next 2 years. So one key area for us is the R&D part. Can you share what more are we doing on this front and what kind of plans to have on the pipeline going forward?
Yes, I thank you for your confidence in our company for the last so many years. In the R&D, we have got today a team of close to about 28 people working in Mumbai and Tarapur. And over the next 2 years, we will expand our R&D team also further. In fact, at Macron, we are setting up a separate R&D cell for just developing and improving manufacturing of all our intermediates. So it's a continuous process for us. And we will keep on investing in R&D, because that's how we look at the future.
But if I see the kind of spend and the number of additions of molecules that we used to do in earlier years, while what we see today, we see the addition of molecules is much lesser as compared in past, while the company has grown quite a lot. Any thoughts on that?
Well, the demand for existing products was growing quite a bit. Now, if we are putting in new products, there is a lot of effort which goes into developing that also, because in terms of production, it's completely a new process for us. And why give up existing opportunities just because use the new product capacities for and leave existing opportunity out? So we prefer to avail of opportunities which are in the market as of now, rather than just bank on the new product.
Okay, but you would plan to increase the product portfolio, because if we have to grow further, we need to have them from before, and then only we can harness them in coming years.
As I said earlier also, it's a continuous process. So
okay.
R&D is a continuous process. Introducing products in the plant is a continuous process. Getting these products into the market, getting market share, getting customers for that, it's an online process for every product for us.
Okay. Okay. Sir, my second question is, when we go 3 years back, then also the kind of top 3-5 products, in those we had a high market share globally. Today also we have a very high market share and our market share has improved. So does this mean that the market size of these products has grown a lot? Or what has really happened to, like, the kind of growth that we are seeing is pretty high while we had a very high market share? So can you share more as to what has happened to our key products? And do these have enough growth opportunity for us to grow further from the same basket?
We have seen that the market share for the top 10 products which we have got, the market size itself has gone up in double-digit numbers in the last 1 year.
Okay.
And we see the same strong growth happening in the current year also.
Okay.
So it's helping us in two ways. Number one, the market size has gone up. And number two, our share in that particular market has also gone, which is why we are able to record much higher growth numbers.
Okay. And is it also that we have been able to expand the geographies and customers, or is it the same customers and geographies that are driving this growth?
No, we are selling to over 45 countries now and to over 400 customers. So probably 3 years ago, we had probably around 250 customers. So there is a lot of customer acquisition also which has taken place in the last 3 years.
Okay, great, sir. Sir, I also have a suggestion that I think given the stock price, we should definitely consider a bonus or stock split and also a listing on NSE. I hope the management can consider that part and that will be helpful.
We will definitely consider that. Yeah.
Thank you. I'll come back in the queue.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Namit Arora from InGrowth Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and many compliments to Mr. Nachane, Rajesh and the entire team for a phenomenal performance. My question is linked to, you know, your thoughts on right to win and the competitive landscape. And it's partly linked to your detailed thoughts in response to Ayush and Ankit's question. So, you know, in your space, there has been reasonable amount of private equity and strategic activities. Could you walk us through some of the differentiators, you know, the way you think about your right to win, some thoughts on the way you are fashioning the organization to sort of, you know, continue to demonstrate this performance, which has moved to a completely different level in the last 4 quarters. So just some thoughts on competitive landscape and your positioning as an organization, as a team, and some things that you're doing around R&D organization, etc. Thank you.
We have positioned our organization on three very basic principles. Number one, we want to be extremely cost competitive and offer our customer a very good value proposition. Secondly, we want to offer them the best possible quality. And thirdly, we have to be reliable in terms of service which we render to the customer. And these three pillars on which we work on have been the main foundations on which we have been able to get our market share. And that is what has given us our competitive advantage.
Got it. And if I may ask, you know, slightly medium term, you know, what are the efforts you're doing in terms of innovation? It could be existing APIs, it could be new initiatives, it could be new engineering or R&D on the process side, you know. So one is scalability. You already have a fairly large portfolio. So one is scalability of that, and second is some more medium term initiatives. If you could give us some color on that.
So on the R&D side, we have got two basic objectives. Number one is to keep on looking at the products which we are making and see whether there are more efficient ways of making that particular product. So we try to improve the yields which we can get, improve the input-output ratios, improve the recoveries of byproducts. So that's one part of the R&D focus. The second part is to look at which are the new products which we can introduce and manufacture. Having said that, there are other efficiencies which are also driven in all the other departments. So in purchasing, we try to drive efficiencies. In our inventory management, we try to drive efficiencies. In manufacturing, we try to optimize production and reduce costs. So there are multiple ways and means in which we try to run and optimize our operations. And it is the overall effort which we see coming in the form of the margins which we derive.
Got it. That's very helpful. And final question from me before I get back in the queue, sir. You know, about 78% of our revenues are from veterinary APIs, but you have other three segments, the human API, the intermediates and finished dosage forms, the FDF. So, you know, over a five-year period, do you see the other three, human API, intermediates and FDF, also becoming large, you know, critical mass and scaling up significantly further? Or do you see, you know, veterinary API itself, you know, sort of continuing to scale up far faster than the other three? Thank you.
Well, we have seen a spurt in the human API business in the last 1 year. Though it has not been a core focus for us, the focus essentially is the veterinary APIs. In fact, all the products in the pipeline have been veterinary APIs. But the couple of products which we have been making in the human field also, we saw increased demand for those products. At the same time, we again took away market share from a couple of other manufacturers of that product. So even though it was not really a thrust area, it still worked well for us. But going forward, our focus is more on the veterinary line of products.
Got it. Thank you very much for your very detailed perspective and all the best. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Kash Jain from Moneycurve. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thank you and great set of numbers in the last 4 quarters. Like Ayush, I also been invested in the company for last 3 years and really seen the fruits of labor for from the management team on this. I just have one question. So like you mentioned, and even if you look at the historical numbers, our asset turns have typically been between 2 and 2.5, and that is what you mentioned even in your opening remarks. But for this particular year, our asset turns have been very high, upwards of 3. So what drove that asset turn this year? Is it driven by some outsourcing or some thing like that? And is it possible to maintain a higher asset turn in the future, looking at what happened this year? Thank you.
Well, the asset turn is now, we are looking at a depreciated balance sheet. So the fixed asset, we are not looking at the gross block, but we are looking at a net block, where assets have been depreciated. So probably that is why we are looking at a much higher asset turn as such. But on fresh investments, we don't foresee asset turn of more than 2.5x.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address questions from all participants, we would request you to please limit your question to 2 at a time. Should you have a follow-up question, you can rejoin the queue. Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhwanil Desai from Turtle Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, Rahul and team. Congratulations for a very good year. Two questions. Rahul, if you know, if I remember correctly, you know, when we were talking about the poultry products, you know, the idea was that those are large volume products, but maybe slightly lower gross margin products. And one thing that we have always appreciated about, you know, our company is the level of gross margin at which we can operate and then grow also, you know, even though, you know, being a very high gross margin company. So, just wanted to get your thinking in terms of the new products that are in the pipeline or that we have launched recently. Do we think that, you know, that 55% kind of a gross margin that we work with even for newer products, or we think that as we grow, we will look for lower margin but higher scale products? How do you think about that?
So we do a mix of both the kinds of products, where we do low margin but higher turnover, and we also do ones where the volumes are lower but the margins are far, far higher. And it's a mix of both these product groups which we have got, which helps us to get the overall margin. So all the new products which we are looking at also, they are pretty similar in the structure to what we've got today. So there are probably about two which are, you know, high margin but very low volumes. And there are a couple of them which are a little lower in volume but higher in, little lower in margin but higher in value. So it's a mixture, and it's, we don't see a drastic change from the existing product mix going forward.
Okay. Got it. And second question, Rahul, you know, in all our interaction, one thing, you know, which we caught, and correct me if I'm wrong, is that we were not too keen on outsourcing, right? I mean, we were doing all the steps, 6, 7, 8 steps processes ourselves. So, you know, now we are saying that, you know, we will increase the outsourcing percentage. So, you know, is this change in thinking because of the capacity constraint, or we think that's a far more efficient model to work with? You know, if you can throw some light on that.
Yeah, so our outsourcing objective is mainly to ensure that we don't fall short of capacity. So we still think insourcing is overall a better strategy, because that's the way you safeguard margins as well as technology. But having said that, there are opportunities out in the market, and we shouldn't be losing those just because we don't have adequate capacities ourselves. So that's the reason why we will outsource.
Okay. So natural corollary to that is that as capacity comes on stream, that so whatever outsourcing has been done will be insourced eventually, right? That's the right way to think?
I don't think so, because the objective will be then from incremental capacity get incremental turnover. So probably the outsourcing we will do will stay. At the same time, our partners to whom we will outsource, they are putting in investments specifically for us. So it would be unfair if we, sort of turn around after a few months and say that, okay, we got our own plans now, so we will not be doing it. So we are looking at it as a more long-term association.
Okay. And last question, Rahul, is that this Macrotech, our understanding was that largely we had acquired and all the consumption was for internal purposes. Now we are putting up a 20 crore capex. So again, the idea remains the same, that to free up the capacity within our NGL, manufacturing sites, or that we will also be looking out to sell intermediates outside of NGL.
So, we look at Macrotech as part of NGL itself. So when we say that we are going to do outsourcing, it's outside of Macrotech and NGL.
Right.
And probably in a few months' time, we might probably even merge Macrotech into NGL rather than carrying it as a subsidiary. So it's 100% subsidiary, just like any other plant for NGL. Yeah. Just the fact that it's a separate legal entity right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Rahul. Very useful, and all the best.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. Request participants to please limit your question to 2 at a time. The next question is from the line of Sachin Kasera from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congrats to the management for an excellent year. My question was, you have mentioned that one of the reasons of the better performance has been gain in market share and introduction of new products. So where are we in terms of the market share? Is it that there is still significant opportunity for us to gain market share in some of these products? And secondly, what is driving these market share gains? I'm saying, what is driving this market share gains? What is the key reason for market share gains?
As I said, there are two pillars on which we approach our philosophy. One is be very cost. Second, offer the best possible quality to our customers and offer them the best possible service and be reliable at all points of time, in terms of delivery of the product, in terms of packaging, in terms of support and documentation, in terms of regulatory support. So these are the are the basic principles on which we approach the entire market, and each customer is special for us. So these are the pillars which have helped us to gain market share.
And you see significant scope for market share even further from here?
So it continues. Even today we are, we do see some favorable winds blowing our way, and we do look at adding additional customers, yes.
Sure. Secondly, can you give some sense of the geographical mix of our revenues, say India, Asia and US, Europe?
We have already put that up in the presentation, so you will be able to look at the numbers.
Sure.
We have given for India, Europe, Asia Pacific, USA and rest of the world.
And from what I understand, we are right now primarily into APIs and intermediates and not too much into formulation. Is that understanding correct?
That is right, yeah.
And what are our plans going ahead? Do we intend to get into formulations?
No. We look at ourselves as purely an API company.
Okay. And just one last question. You had mentioned that you cannot talk about specific products, but from a medium to long term, say next 5 years perspectives, what could be the size of opportunity for the products that you would have, the cumulative size of the 5-10 products that you are working on, that you plan to launch in the next 3 to 5 years?
I am afraid I cannot give you guidance in terms of numbers, but we see strong growth happening on all our existing products right now, and plus as and when we keep adding new products, we will see growth coming in from there. So for us, growth comes in various ways. Number one, it comes from getting market share from competitors. It comes from the natural growth which we see in each product group. It comes from entering new geographies which we were not present in. It comes from better penetration of each geography by acquiring new customers. So we have seen customers used to buy, you know, products with 5 kilo and 10 kilo lots, which we have serviced even when our standard packing used to be 25 kilos. And over 5 years, we have seen quite a few of these customers move from 5 kilo to 500 kilo sort of volumes. So, you know, yeah, as the customer also grows and he increases his market share, it comes back to us in form of better business.
I was not specifically asking what will be our revenue from those. I am just asking what would be the industry size of those products. Like they are, globally they are 300 crores products, 500 crores products. That is what exactly I was looking for.
So what happens is that there is no published data available for this, and therefore I am not able to quote to you. We form our estimates based on our interactions with our customers and other people. But there is no published data which I can quote to you.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Alisha Mahavla from Envision Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, sir, and thank you for taking my question. My first question would be actually on margins, you know. So while you've mentioned that you did have some benefit of benign raw material prices and probably some COVID-related cost savings, and because you're going to do higher share of outsourcing, how do you think the margins, at what level do you think will they be more sustainable?
So the industry margins are in the range of between 18% and 25% EBITDA. We have been at the higher end of these margins for the last couple of years, for 2-3 years. We saw the margins drop in FY20, but that was mainly because of increased fixed cost, as we had a new plant ready and stopped, but the, you know, utilization was not up. Going forward, we expect to be at the higher end of the industry range. I am not very sure how long these very high margins will last, so I will be a little bit cautious in that. But all I can say is that when the industry is delivering around between 18 and 25, we will try to be at the higher range of that particular level.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Also, if you could help us with the 100 crore capex that you're planning to do, will this be funded entirely through internal accruals, or are you looking at a mix of debt and equity?
So we haven't yet committed to the 100 crore entirely. 20 crores is already under implementation in Macrotech. That is going completely from internal accruals. For the 80 crores, that is just sort of a number which we have looked at. The detailed budgeting is going on right now and will probably be ready by end of July. And we are doing it in couple of small phases. The first part is to get the civil construction done, which will again be done completely by internal accruals. So we have time till probably mid of next year to raise to look at how to structure the financing for it. So as and when we get to that, we'll share that information. But right now, I don't have exact numbers or exact sources available, but we'll probably look at a mixture of debt and internal accruals as of now.
Okay, right. And so while we've seen very strong growth in FY21, and we know this is because of the brownfield that you did last year, is it possible for you to give a breakup of how much is the volume growth and how much is the value growth?
I'm afraid I don't have the number right now with me. But I will keep it ready the next time we have a call.
Thanks. And just one last question. Is any of your business tender driven, or is it largely all B2B?
It's completely B2B.
There's no tender business?
No, we don't do tender business.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Request participants to please submit your questions if you have a time. The next question is from the line of Rohit Balakrishnan from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible?
Yes.
Sir, actually, most of the questions have been answered. So, again, once again, many congratulations for all your hard work, and hope you continue to scale new heights. So, just wanted to understand, I think you answered it, maybe my line was a bit unclear. So can you talk a bit about FY22 and FY23 in the next, before this greenfield comes? I'm sorry if you've answered that, just wanted some more clarity. What kind of growth are you looking at for the next couple of years?
Well, on the lower end, the growth will be in the range of probably about 15%, and on the upper end, probably around 25%. But I can't give you a more specific number right now. But we will look at, I think, between 15 and 25.
Sure. Thank you, sir. And I think that is pretty much it, sir. Thank you very much. And all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congratulations for a good set of numbers. My question was in response to Sachin's question, you were describing that the market share has been going up for a variety of reasons. But I was just wondering what happened last year that either some competitor went out or something materially changed, which resulted in such. Is it sustainable?
Well, the pharma industry is a little bit more complex, and the churn in customers does not happen very easily. So we do believe that the customers we have acquired will remain with us going forward. And it's not a temporary increase in market share.
Mm-hmm. And specifically, you know, what led to the win in the new customer accounts? Was it your pricing, quality, or some customer or some competitor discontinuing? If you can just give more color on that.
I think quite a few competitors faced logistical problems in the first quarter going forward till the mid of second quarter last year due to COVID. And they were probably not able to cope up as well as we did during that period.
I see. And are these competitors smaller than us, or they are, you know, in case of the veterinary industry, from what I understand, it's a very consolidated and large players, but there are some smaller companies also. So were you gaining market share from larger competitors or the smaller guys?
It's a mix of both. There are some which we have gained from the larger companies. There are some where we have gained at the cost of the smaller ones. So it's both ways.
Okay. Great. Thank you, and again, congratulations and all the best.
Sure. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Dhaval Shah from Giri Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah. Yes, sir, I have a couple of questions. So first one would be on the outsourcing part when you mentioned. So what is the thought process behind the outsourcing? You mentioned you don't want to lose on the business. But then how our technology is protected, and which category of product would you be outsourcing? I just want to understand, like, and in spite of outsourcing, if you are making such great margins, and then in the future you want to do a higher outsourcing of the total revenue, then it will become you'll have a much better margins going forward. So just want to understand from that perspective.
Yeah, so as currently, we don't outsource much actually. We outsource barely between 3 and 5% of our manufacturing.
Okay.
We would like to take this to about 15%. So it will definitely bring a pressure on margins going forward.
There will be a pressure on margins. Okay.
There will be a pressure going forward.
Okay.
But we hope to make up whatever we lose in percentage terms. We hope to make up in absolute terms, because there will be increase in
volumes.
In volumes, yeah.
Got it. So what is the rest? So what is the risk to our technology or the IP or the chemistry when you do an outsourcing? So is it like you enter into a take or pay contract with the customer? As you said, he's going to put up a capex for NGL. So is it kind of a long-term agreement you enter with him? How is the arrangement?
Yeah, so it is, there are two parts to it. The first part is that the technology is being given by us. So we typically outsource only those products which are, you know, multiple step products. So let's say there is one product which has got 5 manufacturing steps.
Okay.
So to one particular company, we'll outsource just one of those steps. We will not outsource more than one.
Achha, okay.
And another step, if we need to outsource to debottleneck, we will go to another company, not the same one.
Okay. So you divide the reaction stages
So one company will be doing only one step of one product. They might be doing 5 different products for us. But at any point of time, only one step of one product. So that helps us to preserve the IP.
Okay. Yes, sir, good clarity on that. And my second question, so I was going through your past conference calls. So you mentioned your molecule size to be anywhere between, 20 crore, 30 crore to 50 crore. One molecule size. Now, so in terms of our future strategy, when we grow bigger in size with capacity and scale, are we going to keep the same molecule size as our target end market, or we are going to increase over it?
Those molecules which we had, which were at 20 at 50, for the last 3 years have probably grown to about 80, 85 also now. So there has been a significant growth which has taken place in the marketplace. Okay. And we have kept pace with that growth. So the veterinary market is growing very strongly right now. The growth rate which we see are in double digits, more like between 15 and 18 and 20% also for some products. So it's been a very wide base of growth in the last 2 years.
Okay, so then, sir, why is it growing such high double digit? What is driving this growth?
So the market penetration is pretty low in most of the markets we are working with. We are not working in mature markets, let's say like the US or Europe.
Yes, yes.
We are working in the developed markets.
Developing markets.
Yeah, so that's, we are talking about developing countries. So just like we have this situation in India where the health penetration is pretty low in the country. It's sort of similar in most of the other countries also.
Okay.
Having said that, as and when the, you know, the penetration or health penetration in the, those markets go up, the market also grows. So, and that's not something which is very easy to predict.
Got it, got it, got it. And this penetration is being driven by, you know, by some sort of an, you know, so having human, WHO drives a lot of penetration in the LMIC market for various diseases. So is it being driven through some organization or is the government initiative? How is it? So, or is just more awareness and the way people get more educated about the veterinary health, and that's driving it? Because 15-20% growth is a very, very strong growth.
So you see, in India, the veterinary market penetration grew because of the cooperative movement. Because it was difficult for each farmer to afford a veterinary and to come and visit his farm and take care of the animals. But with the cooperative movement, now we see that most of the cooperative societies, they employ their own team of veterinary doctors. Okay. And these go and, you know, call on the farmers. I am not really sure about how it works internationally, but I would guess probably something similar which is happening.
Got it. Very interesting, sir. And so, great, sir. So just coming back to the margin question, this is my last question. So when you say in percentage terms there will be some pressure, so any broad range would you like to guide investors, say, over till the time your greenfield, once your greenfield capex goes live, so what sort of margin should we assume for our company?
As I said, the industry delivers between 18% and 25%. We should be at the higher range of that particular range.
Okay.
So I'm not sure how long we can continue driving, you know, above industry average, above the industry average.
Okay, and in this quarter there was no one-time gain in terms of any price increase of the end product. It was all normal scenario.
Well, this year has been very favorable because a lot of expenditure got postponed because of the COVID logistical problems. No contractors were available for close to the first two quarters, so a lot of our regular expenditure also had to be postponed. At the same time, commodity prices reached an all-time low by, I think, July or so. So, for example, oil hit something like $30-$32 around. And now oil is back to 272.
Yeah. So, I mean, my trying to understand for the fourth quarter, like we did 20% EBITDA. So, was there some sort of a very favorable pricing for our end product, you know, which expanded our gross margin? Along with operating
level. Quarter to quarter, it can also vary because of product mix change. So, if in that particular quarter, you know, there is a larger consignment of one particular higher margin product, it sort of jumps at that. It's not really, you know, maintainable as a quarter on quarter. It's better to sort of look at it more on a half yearly or a yearly basis.
Got it, got it. Okay, okay. So great, sir. Thank you, and I'll come back in the queue. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aejas Lakhani from Unify Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, congratulations, sir, for an excellent set of results. Most of my queries are answered. Just a short one that you mentioned operating leverage in your opening remarks, and I see that your fixed expenses are in the 75-80 crore range, and it's been growing, so it grew 12% or 11% YOY. I'm presuming the same benefits of operating leverage will keep playing out in the years to come as your capacities come on stream. Is that understanding correct?
Well, see, it takes time for the capacity to kick in when we make a capex. For the entire capacity to get used, it takes a little while. So, since similar happened in FY20, where the capacity was commissioned, but we were doing the validation batches and the trials for different products. The benefits of that came on to us in 2021. So going forward, we can see probably a couple of, maybe an anomaly year here or there, where there is a larger capacity which we have created, but the capacity utilization in that plant might be only something like 20 or 30% for that particular year, in which case we see a higher fixed asset cost, which will depress our margins. But again, in the following years, as the utilization goes up, it will again reflect better results. So there is a possibility of a little bit of up down happening in those times.
Fair enough. And sir, what is your suggested band for the gross margins? You said that raw material prices were benign. So do you expect gross margins to be in the at the higher end of the, or higher than 55% consistently, or 55 is what you would sort of work with?
Well, our raw material cost as a percentage of sales is in the range of about 40%. Typically, the range which we have worked with is between 8 and 45. And that has varied on two factors. Number one, the product mix for that particular year or quarter. And number two, how the price has moved. So this year we saw it at the lowest end. It was at about 39.2 as against 45. Or let's say even 42, 43 as an average. So there was definitely a 3 to 4% kicking in margins because of better raw material prices, basically low physical prices.
Got it. And so
we have seen prices have started hardening from Feb this year. Some of them have gone up almost 50% as compared to the low of last year.
Got it, sir. That's very helpful. And sir, how quickly are we able to pass on these raw material price increases that take place?
Pricing is fairly inelastic because when the prices go down, we are able to keep that to ourselves. At the same time, prices when they go up, we are not able to pass it on to customers unless the price increase is significant, in which case, whenever we see something which affects our material costs are more than 2-2.5%, that is the time when we start looking at passing it on to customers.
Got it, sir. That's very helpful. Thanks a ton. I'll fall back in queue.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Mahesh Agarwal from NV India. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so first thing to clarify, my the name is Manish Agarwal. So please rectify while we record the call for publication at exchanges. And congratulations first for significant and very fantabulous set of numbers we posted for FY21. So one thing I want to ask is, you mentioned that we can have suppress of margins in upcoming times. So we ended with 25% margins in FY21. So can I safely assume that we will be having a margin of approximately 22% over the next 3 to 4 years, and the guidance of revenue which you have given, so we can assume approximately 600 crores top line and a EPS of somewhere around 150 till 2024 or 25. Am I getting these figures right?
Mr. Agarwal, unfortunately, we will not give you guidance on the margins as such, because there are too many macroeconomic factors which have an impact. So we will limit our statements to more qualitative issues.
Okay, so we can expect 22% or 21% margin is consistent over the next 5 years, right? Minimum to be.
I again would say, we will not commit ourselves to margins. I am saying the industry margin is in the range of 18 to 23. We always attend to be on the higher band of margins.
Okay, and with the new capacity till 2024-25, we are expecting approximately 600 crores sales, right? At consolidated level.
The new capacity should give us added sale of close to about 200 to 50 crores from current levels at full at 100% capacity utilization. So capacity utilization can take up to 4 to 5 years after it is commissioned.
Okay. So.
There are two ways of looking at it. One can be a very aggressive approach wherein I say yes, we can fill it within 2 years, but it can also take longer. So you need to look at it both ways.
Yeah, that I understood, and that is very nice part of you. So today we are having 250 crores as consolidated sales, and we can assume that in 5 years we are going to double. So 5 years is conservative approach, I think. So we can safely assume our revenue will be somewhere around 500 crores, right, in 5 years.
That is what our objective is, yes.
Okay, okay. And any risks, sir, in this project regarding execution?
Life is a risk. So yes, there are a lot of risks available. But as far as implementation of the project goes, we have a very strong balance sheet. We don't foresee any problems in raising the money and funding the project, and we don't see any problems in executing the project. So that way we think the risk is pretty minimal. As far as filling in capacity is concerned, that's a different ballgame altogether.
Okay, and my second query would be on the cash flow side, that the cash which we generated for FY21, how we allocated that, and what are our plans for FY22 to allocate those cash?
As I said, our capital budgeting is still underway, so we have not, numbers of how we are funding our expansion. So probably at the next call, we will be better placed to answer your question.
Okay, sir. And I am very much impressed with the way we are doing business, and I am looking to be investor for next 5 years at least. So as I mentioned, my request would be a proper stock split or NFL.
Yeah, sure. It was also suggested earlier by Ayush, so yes, that is something which you have prepared.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, sir. Would be very keen to invest for next 5 years at least. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Shivan MS from JHP Securities. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. So most of my questions have been answered. Just one question was on the two plants which had which were shut down for some time in the last quarter. So if you could give some color on the issues that were at hand which caused this, and the remediation measures which were taken.
Yeah, so we were closed on account of certain violations of effluent permissions which granted to us, which we contested. There were a couple of ones which required some remediation, which we did. And unfortunately, because of that, we faced closure for between 3 and 4 weeks for two of our plants, which sort of affected in the last quarter. We have 4 plants in Tarapur right now, including Macrotech at that site. One of the plants is completely a zero liquid discharge plant, and we are upgrading capacity in that plant to treat effluent from 25 cubic meters a day to 80 cubic meters a day. By doing this, we will have surplus capacity on our effluent plant, so that the entire recycling of effluent goes through very smoothly. At that plant, to take care of the air pollution level issues, we have converted our boiler from fossil fuel, we were using furnace oil, to gas. So it's become a clean fuel plant now. at the other plant in Tarapur where we have our subsidiary Macrotech. As part of the investment which we are doing, we are also putting in a zero liquid discharge effluent treatment plant over there. So, that plant also by the end of this year will become a plant with zero discharge of effluent out into the environment. We will be recycling and reusing all the effluent generated over there. So, we are putting in a plant for treating 75 cubic meters per day of effluent over there. And the other two plants in Tarapur, they are pretty small in nature. And we really don't have the space for putting in any effluent treatment plant, meaning over there. So, once the Macrotech plant is commissioned, we plan to approach the authorities and ask them to allow us to truck effluent from these plants to Macrotech, because the capacity which we are setting up in Macrotech can take care of Macrotech itself plus these two plants. So, we hope that by December 2021, all these issues of pollution control will be taken care of.
Okay, sir. Okay. Thank you very much for the clarification. And best of luck for the coming quarters.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rahul Jain from Credence Wealth. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. And congratulations, Rahul and team, for a great year. And wishing you, of course, all the best for the coming years also. Sir, one question regards in the U.S. markets. For the first time, we have seen, you know, U.S. sales coming in our company from practically nothing. We have had a 7 crore sales in the U.S. markets, which is our regulated market. And our strategy always has been there is still some time to enter the regulated markets. So, is this new development whereby you have had a new distributor, which probably would be again selling the same thing to the developing and the unregulated market? How do we look at this U.S. territory? Or how do we look at U.S. territory for us?
Rahul, sir, there's no change in our strategy. The product which we are selling into the U.S. does not require registration with the U.S. FDA. So, we are still not part of the regulated world over there.
So, does that mean ki, so how do we look at the U.S. opportunity going ahead, Rahul?
So, the way the U.S. works is that there are some products which are allowed to be sold without registration with the U.S. FDA. And the one which we are making is an ectoparasitic, and that does not require registration with U.S. FDA. It requires registration with US EPA because they have classified that product separately, differently. So, we were able to sell that product without any issues.
Very nice. And do we see a larger opportunity for this US market to us now?
There is probably an upside of increasing that sale by another 40% or so during the current year.
Okay. And sir, with regards to long-term contracts with customers, are we also thinking in possibility some kind of long-term contracts with some of these customers probably having grown to this size? Is that an opportunity possibility? Is there, that could that be possible? Because sir, in FY20, we had some, you know, challenges with regards to raw materials from China, which impacted our sales during that year. So, two things related to that, are we trying to enter into some long-term contracts with regards to our customers so that we do not lose on some sales? And also, with regards to China, are we having any plans to develop multiple sources or alternate vendors?
Yeah, so the products which we do require some very specific key starting raw materials. And close to about 10% of our total materials are imported from China. Our total imported content is roughly about 20%, of which half comes from China and half comes from other sources. So we have been able to reduce our Chinese imports from 15%, which existed about 2 years ago, to only 10% of purchases. So that is how we have mitigated to a certain extent, but not completely been able to mitigate that Chinese reliance, because whatever we say, they continue to be the lowest cost suppliers for quite a few products. On the sales side, we continue to have just probably a handful of customers, probably 5 or 6, who do long-term supply contracts with us. Most of our sales are on the spot basis.
Mm-hmm.
So there are more than 3 month sales booking or 4 month sales booking. There are just about 4 or 5 customers who talk about a yearly sales contract.
So do we already have a yearly sales contract with some of these customers?
With a few customers, yeah, with about 4 or 5.
Mm-hmm. So with the CapEx coming up, with more outsourcing and the growth, which you seem to be quite confident about the market growth as well as the company growth in coming 2-3 years. So do we also see a possibility of some larger long-term contracts being coming up for us in the near future?
We don't see that particular part growing up much. No. Our sales will continue to be more on the spot business.
Sure. And sir, with regards to the last question, with regards to regulated markets, we are still some time away from thinking or planning in terms of regulated markets. We had mentioned some 2 years back that, you know, till we attain a certain size, it's a very costly affair to enter into the regulated markets, and probably we are still some time away from doing that.
Well, we actually started getting our products registered in regulated markets about 4 years ago. And we do have 2 product registrations in the EU. But we found that we are getting uncompetitive in the other markets because of higher cost of operation. So we stepped back and froze our plans for that. We find there are adequate opportunities available in the rest of the world areas.
Sure. Thank you so much, Rahul. Quite helpful, and wish you all the best. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Aman Rich from Astute Investment Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir. My first question is on our wallet share in our top 10 products. So could you talk about the same? So for how many products we are like the dominant market leader? And also, are the customers okay with this kind of concentration? Because if we keep increasing our market share, then they are maybe depending on us too much. So normally in those cases where we are the dominant player, how many other suppliers like us are associated with the customers?
Well, in our top 3 products, we have over 60% market share. And in the remaining top 10 products, we are close to about, on an average, let's say 40% market share. Now, we are operating in a SUV segment. So, there is no company which is going to depend completely on us for supply. Most companies have 2 or at least 3 suppliers coming. When we say that we have gained market share, it's probably that we have moved from being a number 3 supplier to either a number 2 supplier or a number 1 supplier. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, just one clarification and one more question. So, on that point only, so say we have become like 60% market share and other two suppliers will be, say, much lesser. So, I'm just talking about that point. Since the market is growing and we are trying to grow faster than the market, then again the concentration with that customer is increasing to us, which is good for us, but then as a customer, could you talk about are they okay with even 70-80% kind of market share to one of the supplier like us?
So there is no concentration of our customers. Probably about 5 years ago, our top 5 customers contributed to close to about 20% of our sales. I'm sorry, 40% of our sales. Today, the top 5 customers are close to only about 20% of sales. So it helps us to, de-risk by having a larger customer base also. The growth is not coming from concentration on a particular customer.
No, I'm talking in reverse, sir. For a customer, since we are becoming stronger supplier, so that is why, like you are saying, okay, many customers maybe have become from number 3 to number 1. So I was talking in that term.
Yeah, but we are not, we are offering them a value proposition. We are offering them a good quality. It's not that we are taking a premium for our products. We are being very cross-competitive in our approach in towards customers.
Sure, sir, that helps. And the second question is on the poultry segment. So, sir, could you talk about your plans in terms of, we have launched 2 to 4 products, I think, in that. So, for the next 3 years, what are your plans in this segment? And can we reach the 3-digit number with this 8-10 molecules, or will we require much more? I'm talking of poultry segment specifically.
So, right now, we have just 2 products in the poultry segment. Both are new. We started commercial manufacturing only about a year ago. And both are doing quite well. We see good growth coming from them in the next few years. The other products which we are looking at, the new ones, are not really for the poultry segment. They are traditional farm animals. So, yes, I mean, it's in the future, in the next 2-3 years, we may not probably add many more products in the poultry segment. We'll continue with what we have got.
Yeah, and these 2 products, are they in the range of that 25 to 50 crore, or are they in the range of that 80-100 crore? Is the poultry market also growing like we have talked about? Some of
yeah,
our
that's a much larger market, yeah. That is more like around 80 to 100 crore market segment, yeah.
And has it also grown compared to what it was 3 years back? Or they are not growing that fast as we...
Poultry is also growing very fast, yes. It's accepted all throughout the world. And it's one of the fastest growing animal products in the world.
Sure, sir. And the final question is on the Asia-specific region. So, I was seeing the numbers. All the regions have done well for us. But Asia has now become much more even than Europe and India. So any particular region or countries which led to this kind of growth? Is it some new customers or new regions? And do you think Asia will remain the main region for us going forward?
No, we have covered almost all the countries in Asia now. So we sell to China, Korea, Australia, Vietnam, Thailand, Indonesia, Bangladesh, Pakistan, Turkey, Saudi Arabia, all the various countries in Asia now. So, and that is also where the, you know, growth in population is also the highest. So, our penetration is improved a lot in Asia.
Thank you. I would request Mr. Rich to rejoin the queue. We'll take one last question, which is from the line of Ayush Mittal from NAPL Value Investing Fund. Please go ahead.
Sir, thanks for the opportunity. So one thing that we notice in the numbers is the major improvement in working capital. The debt days have also come down sharply in the last 3-4 years. Any thoughts on this and how maintainable are these?
So overall efficiencies to drive them, we concentrate on inventory management and on receivables management also. We have been fairly successful in reducing our inventory days. So we have close to about 150 days inventory probably about 5 years ago. It's now down to about 150. And receivable days are also down from about 105 years ago to more like about 50 currently. So, we do think that these levels are maintainable in the coming years, yeah.
Great, great. Second, like we have seen the issues of pollution in Tarapur for so many other companies, I think every company in that area was impacted. Though we have zero discharge plants, but the new capex is also coming up, which might be a concern for the authorities. Any thoughts on this as a risk for us?
We already hold all the permissions for the new capex, and the new capex will also be with a zero discharge plant.
Great. So we don't need any further approval on this.
No further approval required, no.
Okay. So third, the existing infrastructure that we have, what kind of investments would we be doing for the debottlenecking or addition of capacity at the existing location?
Well, normal capex every year which we undertake is in the range of between 7 and 12 crores. So that's what we can expect as normal.
But do we have potential to add more capacity at the existing place, or this will be just debottlenecking?
No, debottlenecking. There won't be any new major capacity added. All the four locations are filled to the gills right now.
Full. That's full. Okay. And so last question is that what would be the key raw material for us wherein we might see any price risk or something? Because I think, is it right that your end selling prices have not increased much for your products and they are stable across the board? Is that a right thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, so from that perspective, if there's a raw material price increase, any key products that we use or something there we can get that risk?
Well, we have seen prices go up, quite a few products as the oil prices go up. So there are quite a few chemicals which are dependent upon oil. So those have gone up by a good 50-60% in the last 1 year. There are 3-4 products where prices have gone up because of shortages or some plant getting closed internationally. So there are some products. So probably about, I would say close to about 15-20 chemicals where we have the price increase going on right now.
Okay, and do you plan to pass it on like you said with a lag, or your pricing is largely stable?
No, in the short term we can't pass it on.
Okay, okay. Okay, great sir. That's it from my side. Wish you all the very best.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, due to time constraints, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Rahul sir, if you can... Yeah.
Yeah, Rishabh, you have to go ahead.
Yeah, sure. So thank you all for joining the earnings call for NGL Finechem. If you have any further queries, feel free to get in touch with us at Pareto Capital. Thank you, and we'll see you on the next call.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. On behalf of NGL Finechem Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.